Well, the waiting is almost over, isn't it? Homes are being decorated. Gifts are being wrapped. All across the world, people are looking forward to the big day. But for a short time this morning, we're going to do something different. We're going to look back to the night hundreds of years ago when there were no decorations or wrapping paper, not even the warmth of a house. The night when Jesus Christ was born. The very greatest gift of all. The very first Christmas. So I invite you to come to Bethlehem to behold Jesus Christ the Lord. Long ago, God's people, the Jews, were waiting. They were waiting for a gift God had promised them. A very special person who would help them in their difficulties and save them from their enemies. They called that person the Christ. And if we look in the Old Testament part of the Bible, in the book of Isaiah, we learn that this person was going to be a king.
So a new king will arise from among David's descendants. The Spirit of the Lord will give him wisdom and the knowledge and skill to rule his people. He will know the Lord's will and honor him, and find pleasure in obeying him. He will not judge by appearance or hearsay. He will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. He will rule his people with justice and integrity.
But the Jews did not know how long they would have to wait. Already it was many hundreds of years since God had promised them this wonderful leader, and some had given up hope. Many, though, continued to wait for the gift, and they searched the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament to find out all they could about him. Those who studied hard had worked out that the Christ was going to be born in Bethlehem, a suburb of Jerusalem, where David, that's the one who killed Goliath, had been king many years ago. I suppose they imagined this great man would be born in a palace or a temple. So it is no surprise that hardly anyone paid attention to a dingy cave behind an inn in which cows and goats were kept. But we know that once in Bethlehem, David's city, there stood a lowly cattle shed. Bethlehem was a confusing place to be that night. You see, the Emperor Augustus had conquered so many nations that he had no idea how many people he ruled over. So he decided to take a census and count them all. Everyone, no matter where they lived, had to return to where they had been born. So Bethlehem was full of strangers trying to get a bed for the night. There were to be no excuses. Even if you were old or ill, you had to go to be counted. Augustus would not even make an exception if you were pregnant, not even if the baby was due to be born any day. Now that is particularly important for two people in the story we have to tell. They are called Mary and Joseph. and Mary was expecting her baby very soon indeed. Mary must have been anxious because she knew already that her son was going to be no ordinary baby. An angel had visited her and told her that her baby would be the very person the Jews were waiting for. She was to be the mother of the Christ.
God sent the angel Gabriel to the town in Galilee named Nazareth. He had a message for a girl promised in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of King David. The girl's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said,
"Peace be with you. The Lord is with you and has greatly blessed you."
Mary was deeply troubled by the angel's message, and she wondered what his words meant. The angel said to her,
"Don't be afraid, Mary. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will make him a king, as his ancestor David was, and he will become king of the descendants of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
Well, that was amazing, wasn't it? And now, almost 9 months later, here was Mary having to travel about 80 miles from her home in Nazareth to Bethlehem. Fortunately, she was not traveling alone. With her was Joseph, who also knew exactly who her unborn baby was, for an angel had visited him too. He was engaged to be married to Mary. I imagine that because of Mary being pregnant, they travelled very slowly. The result was that by the time they arrived in Bethlehem, the inns had no room left, and the only shelter they could find was a stable.
Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the birthplace of King David. Joseph went there because he was a descendant of David. He went to register with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him. She was pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. There was no room for them to stay in the inn.
And so, that is where Jesus, the long-expected hero of the Jews, was born, in a stable. He was wrapped in strips of cloth, and because there was nowhere else to put him, Mary put him in the animal's feeding trough, the manger. It's not very Christmassy, is it? Not very jolly. An unmarried mother, her fiancé, and the long-expected Christ stuck in a smelly stable, waiting for the morning. But God plans things in quite different ways from us, and he knew something that no one in Bethlehem knew that night. God himself was the father of that child, and his son Jesus was his gift to the world. For the baby grew into a child, who grew into a teenager, who grew into a man, who did everything it took for humans to live as forgiven people, restored as God's friends. So, let us imagine Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as silently, silently, the wondrous gift of Jesus is given to the world. And in the fields outside Bethlehem, there were some shepherds and some sheep. So the shepherds and sheep like to take their places. If you knew that the Christ had been born, who would you have told? The Prime Minister? The Queen? Well, God chose to tell some shepherds on a hill outside Bethlehem. Perhaps they were the only people awake at the dead of night as they guarded their sheep against robbers and wild animals.
There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day, in David's town, your Saviour was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, the sky was full of angels, singing praises to God. You ready, angels? Glory. The shepherds were amazed. "Let us go to Bethlehem and search out the place where the baby is," they said. And off they rushed, telling all the people they met on the way about what they had seen. So, Jesus was born, the Christ for whom the Jews had waited. He was born into a Jewish family and visited and talked of by Jewish shepherds. But God had bigger plans for this world than the Jews ever dared imagine. His plan was not just to bring back the Jewish people to be his friends. His plan was to bring people from the entire world, pole to pole, into his family. And while Jesus was crying and feeding and sleeping in a stable in Bethlehem, his birth was having an impact on people hundreds of miles away. Soon afterwards, some men who studied the stars came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the baby born to be the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about this, he was very upset, and so was everyone else in Jerusalem. Herod asked, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In the town of Bethlehem, in the land of Judea," he was told. "For this is what the prophet wrote: Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means the least of the leading cities of Judah, for from you will come a leader who will guide my people Israel." So Herod called the visitors from the east to a secret meeting and found out from them the exact time that the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem with these instructions: go and make a careful search for the child, and when you find him, let me know, so that I too may go and worship him. And so they left. And on their way, they saw the same star they had seen in the east. When they saw it, how happy they were! What joy was theirs! It went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. They went into the house, and when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they knelt down and worshipped him. They brought out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And presented them to him. The visit of the wise men probably happened sometime later, and Jesus may even have been a toddler when they arrived. But nevertheless, I think it's right for them to be in the stable too, with their gifts of precious gold, sweet-smelling frankincense, and a spice called myrrh. But most of all, let's join them in worshipping Jesus, for they were the very first people who were not Jews to sing praise with one accord to the heavenly Lord. And we, here today, are the most recent. Now, I wonder, how many people are going to a Christmas party this Christmas? Oh, you poor people! You're not going to a Christmas party? Haven't you had one at the Friendship Club, and at Guides, and at Brownies, and at school? Oh dear, that's very sad, isn't it? Oh, well, lots of people are going to parties. None of you going to parties at Christmas? No. Oh, Deborah's going to party, that's good. Nobody's got anything? Oh, well, there are lots of parties going on. And I want you to imagine that you're going to a birthday party. It's a very special birthday party because it's your birthday. So you've invited your friends, and they're all going to come. And the food, wow, it's my favourite drink, 7-Up, and I've got some paprika popcorn. Whee! So bring your favourite food to my party. And I'll have lots of ice cream, and chocolate sauce. Anybody else got any favourite food? No? They're very quiet this morning, aren't they? Curry. Well, okay, you can bring your own curry, right. Well, my party's almost ready. Everyone comes, and it looks like everyone's having a good time. They're dancing, they're smiling, they're laughing, and they've each brought a present with them. And they're giving them to each other. I thought, well, wait a minute, it's my birthday. But they keep on giving the presents to each other, and they don't give me one. I'm not very happy with that, really. But no presents for me. No, not even this one. No, for somebody else. Well, I don't think much of that. I wonder if that's how Jesus feels about his birthday. Because Christmas is Jesus' birthday, isn't it? the day we remember when Jesus was born on Christmas Day. And how many presents do we give Jesus at Christmas? I'm not sure if we give any, do we? We get preoccupied with thinking about the presents we're going to give to everybody else and what we're going to get. But if we think back to the first Christmas, who was the centre of attention then? Jesus, yes, Jesus was the centre of attention, wasn't he? The angels singing in the heavens. There were shepherds in the fields who left their sheep to come and see what was going on. And the wise men were travelling from hundreds of miles away to see this new baby. So that first Christmas, Jesus was the centre of attention. And he got lots of presents, didn't he? What presents did he get? Who can tell me? Yes, there. That's it, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Very precious gifts. A nice gold bar, that'd be worth quite a lot. Frankincense was valuable and so was myrrh. And Christmas started by people giving gifts to each other as a reminder and a celebration of God's gifts of Jesus to the world. So, this Christmas, as you're thinking about the presents that you plan to give to other people and the ones that you hope to get, let's remember why we're doing it. God gave us the best gift of all on the first Christmas. He gave us his son Jesus. And we thank God for sending Jesus into the world. And perhaps we could give a present for Jesus. We think of somebody who perhaps we wouldn't get a present this year. Today we're going to be collecting money and gifts for crisis, for homeless people. Those people will probably not get a gift otherwise and not get any nice food for Christmas or do any celebrating at all. But through crisis, they can have the opportunity to do that and to get help and to get a nice bath, a nice shower and some clean clothes, some new clothes to wear. So let's us all think then, whether perhaps we can give one gift at least for Jesus this Christmas.